So what's in a name? Well, quite a lot. For the ancients, possession of the name meant access to the soul. When I have your name, I have you. Which is why it was crucial for Moses at the burning bush to be given the name of the God who addressed him there. The name represents the person. In a sense, it contains the person in all their power and activity. Parents choosing a name for their child think carefully. With Jamie Oliver, an inspiration to all of us in the imaginative naming of our children. Let's never forget Daisy, Boo, Pamela, Oliver, Petal, Blossom, Rainbow, Oliver, Buddy, Bear, Morris, Oliver, and Poppy, Honey, Rosie, Oliver. I kid you not. Parents, think about it. What does the name mean? What hopes does that name embrace? What character does it convey? Which rich aunt will be most impressed? Not many just use a pin and a blindfold. Indeed, names are so evocative and symbolic that a whole discipline exists within commerce and business, specifically for the selection of product names. You'll find very bright men and women agonising over the right name with the right nuances for the new deodorant or the latest model of car, though how they came up with the decision to call high street clothes shops Fat Face and Sweaty Betty, I shall never know. And when a company decides to change the name it's had for years, design a new logo, something that would convey the right image, the new right image, a lot of thought and money goes into that process. You might remember the fuss when Royal Mail became Consignia. And did you know that Google was originally called Backrub? If you don't believe me, why don't you backrub that? Who can forget the deep sense of mourning when Opal Fruits became Starburst? The sense of loss and displacement when Marathons became Snickers is nothing sacred. Names matter. If you don't believe me, check out what Nintendo was originally called, and you'll see why they changed the name back in 1951. There's a knock at the huge wooden door. The man known as Black Rod insists that the Houses of Parliament throw open their doors, open in the name of His Majesty the King. Authority brought to bear. When the name of the King is invoked, all the centuries of tradition, history and loyalty lie within that, and authority gives legitimacy. When the action is done in the name of the one who has authority, then the action has validity. Look at the signature, see the name, carry out the instruction. The entire mission of the church is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If asked by what authority do we engage in witness to the world, this work we call mission, we simply offer the guarantee that this work is done in His name and therefore by His authority. It is that Christ-given authority that undergirds all our outreach. It is that Christ-given authority that sustains it during its struggle in a secular age. It's that signature of that name, as it were, that inspires the church, requires the church to look beyond its own comfort and security and reach out to the whole world. So if people say, by what right dare you to do this work? Our reply is straightforward. We dare to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His name and no other. That's certainly a recurring theme in the life of the early church, the New Testament church. Healings are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful proclamation is effective and converting and is unashamedly done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The powers of evil are engaged with head on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So no one could have been in any doubt in those early days about who or what lay behind, underneath, above, around the mission of the church. The reality is that today people have a problem with the name, and people of today have a problem with the name. You're more likely to hear the name of Jesus Christ uttered as a swear word than anything else. And I wonder if that might be because deep, deep down, people are a little bit afraid of the name. Just as much of the language of swearing is of a sexual origin and is used, some analysts suggest, by people who are not entirely at ease with the issues of sex and sexuality, people who use sexual swearing as a way to disguise their discomfiture, So we might be entitled to wonder, is it the case that those people who try to diffuse the impact of the name of Jesus Christ by reducing it to a swear word are similarly attempting to avoid its challenge, duck its implications for their life? Scary for some, the name might be. Meaningful for others, the name most assuredly is. For around the name of Jesus Christ gather symbolisms and meanings that are honourable and fine, representing what's truest and best about the human heart, what is finest and most glorious about the human spirit. When we ask ourselves where our allegiances lie and to what our commitment is made, we know that it is to those things that are pure and high, creative and lovely, to those things embodied and lived out in that life of that man with that name. There's nothing aggressive or destructive in him or in his ways, only honouring of the qualities and values that bring life. We know other names that speak of ugly things, names the very mention of which make us shudder. Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, Ku Klux Klan, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. Names that stain history and seem in themselves, in the very mention of their names themselves, to gather up all the poisonous negative themes that degrade, demean and diminish our humanity. But it's so very different with the name of Jesus Christ, where the emphasis is on gentleness, the integrity, the compassion, the forgiveness. So if we are serving in the name of this Jesus, we put ourselves fairly and squarely alongside those things that are of the essence of goodness, to do with our best dreams and our highest aspirations. That's whose side we're on. We're unmistakably placing ourselves on the side of the angels. For he is the living symbol of the compassion and the grace he brings. Serving, following, witnessing and proclaiming in his name is to wear a badge that denotes honourable things of godliness and compassion. If over the long course of history some people have taken that name and reconfigured its gentleness and peace to fit in with their own agendas, that, alas, is what people do. But it doesn't distract from the truth that his way, the way of Christ, has no place in it for the violence, the vitriol, the divisions that men and women have allowed to tarnish his truth. The New Testament also teaches us that it is a strong name. There is power in the name that will enable us to overcome all kinds of challenges. Our own weakness and fear are transformed into boldness as we stand under the banner of the name of Jesus and invite his strength to overpower our reticence and weakness. When our nerve fails us and the task seems too much, we go in the name of Jesus Christ and we are able for the challenge, able for the dangers. We can stand in face of the storm and not be overwhelmed. And because our preaching and proclaiming and witnessing is done under the flag of his name, the miracle happens. And our faltering, hesitant words become the words of life for someone who hears us tell the story. Not that we've got the gift of the gab or slick answers for all the questions, but the reality is that in the power of the name of Jesus, where his truth is declared and his name is honoured, the shafts of light come into people's hearts with transforming power and effect. It would be nice for us to be able to take the credit for our powers of persuasion. But we know that this deep reality of lives turned around is a miracle way beyond the scope of our techniques and skills. This is the power of the name of Jesus Christ, who is present where his good news is announced, and he honours the pledge we make to speak his truth and tell his story. And the name is a strong name that releases the power the church needs. It is when forgiveness is declared in the name of Jesus Christ that there can be real healing and inner peace. Not my name, not the name of the moderator, not the bishop or the pope, but when forgiveness is offered in the name of Jesus Christ, it has efficacy, it changes things. The final authority has been brought into the crisis. When we rest in the name of Jesus Christ and all that that embodies, then reassurance and calm are possible, be it at the hospital bed or a graveside. Only in his name is the comfort the comfort that's offered to people. Only in his name and by his power, trembling hearts can be stilled, and there can be real hope offered to the broken and the bruised. I have nothing to give people. Nothing from in here that is of any use, reaches deep enough into the deep places, but in his name there is blessing and there is hope. And that means that when we come to tilt at the windmills of evil, the corruptions, the enslavements, the wickedness that offends Christian truth, the injustices that mock any talk of the kingdom of God, then that is the name that we hold out before us. And when Christ is lifted high, the forces of evil shudder. C.S. Lewis has a lovely leitmotif throughout his books, the Screwtape's Letters. The Screwtape Letters, books that are all about the life and times of the devil and his agents. And the literary device Lewis uses is to make it so that among the devil and his agents, none of them will speak directly of Jesus Christ. His is the one whose name must not be spoken. They call him or that man. Just don't send hell into paroxysms of outrage by daring to say the name Jesus Christ. But it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that our spirits want to rise up and challenge with the full force of love and warmth all those destructive forces and corrosive influences that so easily wreck people's lives and enslave them in countless cruel imprisonments. It's not a protest in the name of gentility or good citizenship. It is the cry of the heart of Christ and of his people against those things that degrade and wound and rob God's children of their birthright. So no, I wouldn't dare speak my personal opinion in preaching, offer for your consideration my accumulated wisdom of the years. There's nothing healing or life-changing there, I can assure you. There is no blessing for the anguished soul in that. Who cares tuppence what I or any other well-meaning do-gooder would want to pontificate about on this subject or that? It means nothing, it brings nothing, it does nothing. There's neither authority nor legitimacy in the earnest good ideas of my reflections or anyone else's. Only one name has authority. Only one person reaches into the souls of men and women and dares them to come alive in him. Only one voice that matters. Only one name that makes a difference. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go.